Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I am Craig, and this is Greg. We hope that where you are in your part of the country, that spring is finally springing here in Michigan. It's trying. Is that,
it's very trying.
Yeah, it was very. It is very trying on my nerves at this point. But the new beginnings, the fresh starts, is one of the things that we'd like to talk to you about. We try to cover these different aspects of leadership that you might face. And one of the things, we don't think that people at one point, they have a beginning. They don't just stay in a leadership position forever. They did start there somewhere. And Greg, there's some things I think that people need to think about when they're getting ready to go into a new position, whether they're already in a leadership position and it's kind of a lateral move, or maybe it's they've been kind of a C-level leader and now they're moving into maybe being the point leader, might be in the same organization, might be in something totally different, but they're stepping in, new beginnings, and there's some things that they need to think through.
I think, Craig, the being promoted starts with being recognized. Mm-hmm. And I think part of our challenge when you get a new opportunity, a new beginning, another assignment, how we leave the current one we're in really tells about the character of us.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you got a story or seven.
Well, you know, you and I have both seen it in organizations where somebody has announced their resignation and, you know, they're like, given my 2 weeks notice. And you're like, yeah, physically you were here for 2 weeks, but you know, you really walked out the door as soon as you gave your notice. And I don't know, some people, I've run this by some people before, and they've said it's kind of a strong statement, but I really feel like that's an integrity issue. If you're not going to, I mean, if you're still there enjoying the benefits of the job and maybe the paycheck of the job and that sort of thing, but you're not really there, you're just saying, hey, I'm mailing it in, I'm giving 80%. In my mind, I'm already thinking about my new position, and you're not, then leave. Because it's caused a lot of angst. In fact, so much so that I've had some times where in organizations that I've been leading, when somebody comes in and says, you know, this is going on, I'm giving my 2 week notice, I've said, thank you, I'll pay you for the next 2 weeks, but you can, you know, it's just time to take off right now.
And maybe if in that position for you, you wouldn't have done that if you didn't sense they were giving a partial effort.
Yes.
And it's not about the, you know, greener pastures, other side of the fence. Right. It's if you are going to get opportunities, people are going to notice you, and how you handle it with class and humility.
Yes.
I have learned the hard way, I'm sure you have as well, either my situation or someone close to me who got a promotion and they left it so poorly, but the community isn't that big.
Right. It'll come back and bite you.
Oh my goodness. So how do we prevent that?
Yeah. I think that, and it's, I get it. You're excited about the new position. And so already like the wheels are turning and you're dreaming about the new position and you're thinking about that, but that's going to have to be, you know, all right, I'm not actually at that job yet. That needs to be, if I'm at my work, I just thought of a good idea. Let me jot it down here, get it out of my brain, and I can think about it on the weekend, or I can think about it when I'm home. But I'm here now. I need to give 100% of my effort here now. I don't want anybody saying to me, you know, wish that they would have just left a lot earlier than they actually left. That's, you're not helping yourself. You're not setting a good example for anybody else. And it really just kind of leaves a bad taste in people's minds.
Maybe when we're getting this new opportunity, it feels so good. Mm-hmm. Like potentially I could even hear myself saying, well, I deserve this promotion.
Oh, yep.
And so now the assignment you are in until then is maybe for me, my mindset, I'm kind of beyond that now.
Sure.
I've grown up. I'm wearing big boy pants.
Right.
How do we sustain that humility that God wants from us, that we want in our relationships with others? Mm-hmm. Why do we take a position in an organization and not treat it that way?
Well, you know, I know I've experienced this in myself as well. if that attitude comes in, like you just said, which is very natural, like, oh, they've recognized me and I'm pretty good, you know, and that's why I'm going here. That's not only going to kind of leave really a bad feeling when you leave. You're not doing yourself any favors in the new organization, because if you walk into the new group and go, ta-da, here I am, now you can really do some work because I've arrived. That arrogant attitude is not going to attract people to you. It's not going to help you cast a vision. And so really that idea of humility is, you know, you have to, and listen, I love the quote from C.S. Lewis, and a lot of people have a misunderstanding when we say being a humble person. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm dirt. And that's not what it means. I love what C.S. Lewis said. Humility is not thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less.
Less often, less.
Yeah. Right. So so it's not about me. Mm-hmm. That's not, and so it's about the organization I'm leaving. It's about the organization I'm coming to. And if I'm going to serve both of those organizations, I can't be thinking about me. I have to be thinking about the organizations, and that I think will keep me grounded and put me in a humble spot.
If we get a promotion inside the organization we're currently working, mm-hmm. the only way to start well in the new position is to finish well in the old.
Right.
I think that's probably standard knowledge. But if you're moving to another organization, maybe it's a competitor. Maybe there's some ill will. Mm. With the current position and where we're going,
sure.
How do we do that as leaders?
You know, that going to the competition is a tough one. That's the one where, you know, I may, as like the employer, as the boss, that's one where I may say, all right, I don't want you spending your time gathering more of our information to take to our competitor. Right. So we probably just need to move on right now. But I need to be able to demonstrate if I've my integrity is shown all the way through. Mm-hmm. Let's not burn that whole bridge, undo that whole thing just because in the last moment that I just went, you know, I mean, I've literally had some people, you know, say after they've given their notice, they're goofing off on something. Well, what are they going to do? Fire me? Like, really, that's a terrible attitude to have. That's so bad. And it really speaks very poorly of you and your character. So, you know, if we're going into the new place, let's go in with the right attitude that you know, nobody can point a finger at us and say, you know, well, you were undercutting here and cutting short here. And, you know, I'm going to do 100% all the way through. Kind of like how they say about gossiping. You know, if somebody gossips to you about somebody else, they're going to gossip about you to somebody else. Well, it's the same thing. If you're, you know, talking bad about your current employer because you're getting ready to go to a competitor, you're going to do the same thing. You know, it's going to come back around. Yeah.
I have a story, and you might have many more, but there was a mid-level leader at my last, one of my partnerships, and she left and did it well. She went to a competitor and then learned it wasn't good and then came back. Mm-hmm. And the way she had left us, we saw a promise to have a return in a different capacity based on what she did for about a year somewhere else. It wasn't the right culture. Right. So she learned, you know, the grass wasn't greener, but she left us so well that we brought her back.
Yep.
I think that's the, not that you're second guessing your decision, but if it doesn't work out, or you do see them in society, you know, do you have a story about that where someone did it well and you're like, wow, I just honor that. Maybe you did it. You know.
Well, I remember a friend of mine that was a youth pastor, very successful, big church, great, solid youth group. And as a result of that, then somebody contacted him about becoming a senior pastor at a church. Hmm. And he went there and left his church very well. I mean, he took time to raise up the next level of leaders and this sort of thing. He left, goes to this church, and once he gets there, realizes the skill set of being a senior pastor was totally different than his skill set of being a youth pastor, and said, boy, I really need to be. And I think it was the same thing. I think it was about a year, but he contacted his previous senior pastor and said, I think I made a mistake. This is not my skill set. And, you know, and they said, you can come back here. I mean, they just, without reservation, they just said, you did such a good job raising up leaders. We know that, you know, you didn't burn any bridges. And so we'd love to have you back. And that should be, that'd be a great litmus test, is if you leave an organization and somebody said, would you hire that person back? If they said yes, that means you left well. You didn't just kind of mail it in at the end, or, you know, they were like, oh, good, glad they're finally out of here. You know, they're saying, oh, really?
Right. Mm. I have an example of a partnership I was involved in, and one of the partners wouldn't let someone back in who left well, and she's working for a competitor and killing it. And, you know, you almost, and she didn't do this, but she could have easily said to, you know, the person that didn't want her back, you know, told you so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it almost was a maturity question for me on him, because she did it right from the departure. She stayed in touch. She didn't try to compete and steal things. And she says, I think I'm in the wrong spot. And then she came back and he's like, oh, no way, you're a traitor. And so that's kind of sad that we can kind of get our ego bent.
Right.
When we look at the big picture, if you got 10 employees or 110 employees, that person still could contribute. And sure. So how do we as leaders, when, let's switch it around, how do we as leaders, when someone leaves well or leaves poorly, what do we do with that? Because if we're the kind of the CEO or the person in charge, how do we process that without holding grudges?
Well, yeah, we talked before about grudges and, you know, keeping, like, going to your list and going, let's see, how many times have I recorded here that you've messed up? And if you're doing that, you're not going to allow anybody to rise to their full potential. But I like, there's one verse in Romans chapter 12 in the Bible that says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I like that opening phrase, as far as it depends on me. The other person might leave poorly, but did I do everything that I could? Maybe I was the one that agitated them so much that they left. You know, because a lot of times people don't leave because of a bad company, but because of a bad boss. Yep. So I have to look in the mirror if somebody's leaving. Did I do something here? Did I, you know, not set them up for success? Or did I go to, oh, here's my list of all the things that you, and I was constantly holding that over them. So I think it's a reflection time of my own heart, as well as saying, what did their attitude reveal about themselves? What was really inside of them too? It is a reflection time.
I like that. Interesting. I happened to see this lady at a restaurant recently, and I said, I trust things are going well. I kind of hear they're going well. It's the best career move. I'm so glad he didn't take me back. And I thought, wow. And God can kind of do that. Maybe that was God's protection against him.
Sure, could be.
For this lady.
Yeah.
And it was just fun to hear that she was doing so well, you know, and she should have been doing it with his firm, but he was just so petty, you know, so punitive about it. Let's go back to the one thing where you said, if I have an idea, I'm in my current position, whether it's an internal promotion or an external opportunity, excitement, adrenaline, you know, just, you feel so ego stroked, you know, they want you. And how do we try to, how can we as leaders throttle that a bit, you know, so we don't get so far ahead of ourselves? Maybe the place we're going doesn't work out, so now we're really falling down. Right. But what do we do with excitement and adrenaline? Because it's so complimentary, right?
Sure.
When someone sees you, hey, I want you.
Right. Yeah, I have been in that position where it's like you're getting ready to move on to the new thing, but you still got to finish well on the other thing. And I will tell you, if you're going to do it well, it is exhausting because it does become almost like working two jobs. For a period of time, but it's an overlap, you know, but it is a short period of time. That's what I had to keep reminding myself is, okay, this is a very short season here. And so I started creating like separate file folders on my desk, separate like notes in my computer that, because I'd be working on my current job, something would come up, you know, or I'd be reading an email and go, oh, that makes me think about my new position. And then I try to catch myself. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I still got to focus on this. So let me just copy paste, put that in here, or let me take my paper and stick it in my file folder. Okay. And I'll just take that home with me. Right. I can think about it over the weekend. I can think about it tonight. So you have to create some place to capture those thoughts, because you can't like say to yourself, I'm not going to think that right now. Because as soon as you say that, you know, as soon as you say, don't think about an elephant, people are thinking about elephants, you know.
Or that song you can't get out of your head.
Yes.
Oh, God, it drives me
exactly
crazy.
So you have to have some place to get it out.
Right, right.
And so stick it in the file folder, copy and paste it, put it somewhere, you know, record a voice memo to yourself on your phone, do something to get it out of your head, and then stay focused on where you are right now. And you're going to be tired for a while, but that's okay.
Like you said, it's your mind is split, right? There's a duty to where you're at and excitement to where you're going, whether it's internal or an outside opportunity.
Well, you know, and I mean, I'd even think about it this way, like forget it being another job. You know, I can't do my job well if my mind is thinking about my list of chores at home, my honey-do list there. You know, I have to even, so we do it all the time. We discipline ourselves all the time to say, I'll deal with that when I get home. We have to do the same thing with the new job. Okay, and I'm still getting paid to do this job. I still got teammates depending on me for this job. I just need to set these other things aside and keep reminding yourselves, even if you need to have like a countdown somewhere, you know, 10 more sleeps, 9 more sleeps, you know, until I'm at this new position.
Yeah, one more quarter, then I can leave it well. One of the things that kind of struck me about the new beginning is when you, ta-da, at the next place.
Right.
It's one thing to have confidence. It's another thing to come in a little bit cocky.
Yep.
Like, ta-da, I'm here. So, you know, now it'll be a better organization or a better division, or I got hired in a different department. Or
sure.
How do we do that well as a team member?
Sure. Yeah, and that's what the phrase that I played around with a lot in Shepherd Leadership. I had two chapters back to back, you know, a confident leader's humility and a humble leader's confidence. And really that's the tension between the confidence and the humility. The confidence, I think, should come from the fact that they chose me for this. So they already saw my skills. I don't need to come in to people and go, look at my skills, look at my resume. Somebody already saw all of that. And so I don't need to blow my own trumpet here to say, look at me. But if think about it this way, if I'm coming into an organization that's already successful, and if I come in and go, ta-da, I'm here, now you guys can really be successful. They're like, what do you think we've been doing? I have to come in with the attitude of really thankfulness for, wow, look at all of the work that you guys have already done to lay this path for me. And I get to be a part of this. You know, because if you've ever been involved with a startup, that is a lot of work to get it off the ground. And if you're stepping into an organization or a department that's already humming along and somebody's already done all that hard work to get it going, you should be so grateful that you get to step into that. And if you're thinking grateful thoughts and feeling grateful thoughts, you can't help but speak grateful words, humbly confident words, because like, again, going back to C.S. Lewis, I'm not thinking about myself now. I'm thinking about, I get to be a part of this.
Right.
And that get to be a part of it versus you couldn't get along without me is a really big attitude change.
Say that again.
I get to be a part of this versus you couldn't get along without me being here.
That's a home run right there. That's, I think the compliment, the honor, you picked me. I mean, we can go back to elementary school and you go out and, you know, you're getting, you know, picked by teams to play kickball or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, so Billy's pretty good. Yeah. Maybe I'll be third. Well, Craig's pretty good too. So I might be fourth, but at least I'm not 19th.
But at least Greg's here. He's going to get picked first every time.
Yeah. I just despise that guy. I wish he'd break his ankle. But I think the point we're getting at is when you join a team, you're not a silo.
Right.
You know,
it's a team.
It's not a one person company.
Right.
And I think being picked, leaving well, finishing well, let's go with a starting well, and we can finish up here with what are some of those attributes or traits we should exhibit to a new team that picked us. I mean, whether it's internal or external, what are a couple things you'd say, make sure you're grounded or whatever?
Well, yeah, I think definitely the humility, the gratefulness that I get to be a part of this. Even if, like I said, being grateful that it was an already established thing, you could still be grateful for the fact that it's a startup and they picked you. Really, you picked me to be a vision caster for a startup organization. I should be very grateful for that. So I think that gratitude. The other part too is if the organization's already existing, there is a culture that's there. The best definition that I really have found for culture is it's the unwritten rules. And you usually don't know that you've broken one of those rules until you break one of those rules, because it's not something that somebody can tell you, oh, by the way, in our culture, we do this. And then all of a sudden, you know, you do something different and you can see people go, and that's where you have to be real quick to go, oh, I'm sorry. I think I said something. I think I just did something that's like not what you guys normally do. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's this. Oh, okay. Please forgive me. You know, I think that that's part of it. But the other part too, is I hear some people say, you got big shoes to fill going in there. Yeah. I can't fill those shoes. I'm a different person. I'm a unique individual from as much as you wouldn't say to them, why can't you be like Craig that's coming in? You shouldn't say to me, why can't you be like Joe who just left? So I think that it's important to remind people that, like I had somebody say to me, you know, well, Joe used to do this and this. And I'd say, hi, I'm Craig. I'm not Joe. I know Joe. I appreciate Joe. He's a great guy. And I appreciate all the stuff that he did. But this is how we're different. You know, this was his temperament and here's my temperament. And if I tried to do it like him, I wouldn't be a very effective leader because you're asking me to be somebody that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And just kind of that simple reminder, they went, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're not the, so you got to understand, you know, there's a chemistry there. There's a culture that's already there. Yeah. But again, if you come in with that humble, I'm willing to learn. And if you step on something that you didn't realize was there, oh, okay. Sorry.
What do you call those unwritten rules? I used to call them sacred cows.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I think would be pretty good advice, if you leave one job and go to another in the same company, your assumption is it's the same culture.
Right.
But you're going to have different dynamics. If you left to a different company, whether it's competitive or not, you're going to have to figure out what the culture is. And I think one of the things that I might throw in here is ask questions.
Yes.
When you get there.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to find those unwritten rules until you ask some questions. And I have actually asked, so we didn't talk about this in my interview, but, you know, like, share with me what you think are a couple really important sacred cows. And it was surprising how many they had and what they said about them.
Yeah.
Some supported them. Some probably they were their sacred cows.
Yep.
And others are like, Billy Bob, he's got a sacred cow, but no one else likes it, but he really hammers it home. Oh, I better make sure.
Right.
I think it maybe wrap up. So the new beginning is really complimentary.
Yes.
But finishing well complements the people that you sweat with in your previous.
Yes.
So maybe finish up with kind of a, you know, aha.
That's definitely a tip of the hat to the people that you have worked with when you leave well. Yeah. You know, you're not like, I think you said this earlier, you're not doing that to them.
Right.
But you're saying, boy, guys, you know, I was great to work with you. I'm moving on to some other things. I mean, I know it sounds like we're kind of repeating ourselves here, but the attitude, if you can guard your attitude, it will help with both of those things, leaving well and starting well. I came into one organization that was, they told me right up front, so I'm coming in like about October, and they said, you know, we're facing right now, we're looking at the balance sheet, and this year we're projected to lose $80,000. What are you going to do about it? Then I hadn't even stepped into the role yet. And I'm like, so I had a lot of pressure on me day one that I had to make some big changes. And boy, did I struggle the first couple of weeks. I'm like, I don't want to come in going, okay, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing
cutting this.
And so I came in with I had a legal pad, and I would think through all of these questions, and then I'd do it the night before, and then I'd come in and I met with all the different department heads with all these questions, and I really refrained from saying, okay, but we're going to do it like this, or we have to make a big change. Yeah. And the follow-up questions that I got to ask then as a result of that really got them to the spot of going, oh yeah, we're going to have to make some changes if we're going to turn this thing around. So by the time that I finally, I took a good 2 weeks of doing that, by the time I finally said, hey folks, I think these are the changes we need to make, they were all like, yeah, it's about time that you said that. You know,
they knew,
yeah. but then that way I, and then, like you said, I could say, okay, I know this is a sacred cow, but friends, listen, we're going to have to make a choice. Keep the sacred cow and lose the organization. Which one could we maybe put the sacred cow away for just a little bit, try to turn this around and then see if we can bring it back later, you know, but you have to, you know, that the questions really, because that still has that that humbleness to it.
I love that.
You know, when you come in with statements, this is what I'm going to do, period.
This is what I'm about.
That's an arrogant thing. But when you say, what do you guys think about, and not just going through the motions of like, I'm going to ask your questions, but you know, you're like Charlie Brown's teacher. When you're answering, I'm not even really listening. Okay, that's going to come across too. Mm-hmm. But if you say, I'm really truly listening here, that is a great attitude that's going to draw people to you.
Love
so it. Listen, this is how we like to coach people. So if you've got a specific organization question, you say, boy, I'm going into a new organization. It's a startup, or it's been really successful, or it's about to die, but they called me in to try to resurrect it, or whatever it is. Why don't you check out MaximizeLeadership.com? Go to our tab, our page there about coaching. Fill in the form at the bottom. Say, this is the situation that I'm facing. Then we'll read through it, and we'll get back to you and say, here's a game plan that we can come up with you for coaching, or maybe we will refer you to somebody else. We won't ignore it, but we'll have some suggestions for you, and we'd love to be able to come alongside and help you be successful with your new beginning. If you got ideas that you would like us to discuss, you could leave that as a comment below. You can reach out to us on Twitter, Maximize Podcast. Send us your questions there for upcoming episodes that we can kind of banter around and share some ideas with you.
Banter,
yes. Oh, I think it's bantering. Yeah, that's very good. We'd love to be able to do that for you. So, and then make sure on YouTube that you may already be subscribed, but click the bell to be notified, because not only do we share these full-length episodes, but we share some short episodes as well. Greg has a great series that are called Max Minutes, and so just in 1 minute, you're going to get some great info, and we want you to not miss out on any of that content that's coming. So subscribe, click the bell so you're notified, and we'll keep getting giving you the information that you need to be successful as a leader. We'll talk to you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.